You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right!
What's going on, y'all? Thank you for checking out another episode of The Break, aka The Black Is Break, brought to you by The Black Is Network. I'm your man Chris, one half of the brothers Layman. Somewhat of a feedback episode. We got a good voicemail from the homie Big B from the Indeep Show. What's going on? He sent us some a while back. We finally got a chance to answer his question. So I'm going to play his question for y'all and get into the conversation. The question revolves around bad sex on the first date, which kind of sparks the conversation about, you know, intimacy and learning the other person. Expectations, and then, you know, it kind of gets into those topics, you know, monogamy, and I guess you get on some porn too. So fun conversation, you know. Shout out to the Indeed Show. What up, Neen? Make sure you check them out on, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, and IndeedShow.podbean.com. Good show, y'all. Y'all enjoy it.
Drinking, yeah. Scope this, I was just thinking, you plus me, what a ride. If you was thinking the same, we could continue outside. Lay your pretty body against the parking meter, strip your dress down like I was stripping a pizza. Balls, I'm enjoying. Let me show you, baby, I'm a talented boy.
Before we get into that, I know everybody's had comments about it. I even said it on the Wealth Limit Sports Happy Hour. Rest in peace, it's Purple Majesty, Prince Rogers Nelson, that sucks. You know, with all the news, but this dude has a catalog of music. I mean, 30-plus instruments. This dude just created great stuff and just was always about his art and about helping people at the same time. I mean, this dude is, you know, rarefied air. You know, you don't get them people but once in a generation. Once in a century, them people don't come along that often. So, shout out to him, man. I know everybody's doing their thing about it. I know Casey's going to speak on it. She's gone out a couple times to, you know, events around playing with Prince and, you know, showing her appreciation, man. All right, y'all, so let's get into this. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Flip your hair.
You know it's hot.
Baby girl, I'm all veins when I'm scoping that body rare. Bet you I'ma pack a lunch and spend a while there. Oh, get off.
23 positions in a one-night stand.
Get off.
I only call you after if it's all I can.
Get up. Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man. Get up.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
I'm gonna kick in front of everybody. I don't care, that's right. I put the dress up. Shit, you ain't got no underwear on. I should have known. I should have known.
Everything I do is gonna be funky. Cause I can smell it.
Melody's in the air.
What's going on, Black Is Family? Hope this message finds you all in good health. This is your man, Big B. Hey, I just wanted to drop you guys a little line on a topic that you guys were discussing about sex on the first date. First of all, let me say, I think you all did a great job at just motoring through the topic. It's, to me, has so many different levels now. And I don't think, me personally, I don't think it's the bad thing that it used to be 20 years ago. I think when you have consenting adults and we've all been down the street around the block and we know how it feels and we know how it works. We've seen the movie. We know how it ends. I think that a majority of us have enough trust within ourselves to know what looks right and what feels right, and we're able to move with it. And if it feels like it should happen, then God bless, let it happen. My question to you, and I think we had this discussion on our show a while back, but I would love to hear y'all's roundtable's input on it, is this. If you do find yourself in a situation where you have had sex on the first date, and for either person, it just wasn't good at all. I mean, it not only was it not good, it was just bad. And it wasn't bad because of that uncomfortable, awkward first time that can happen from time to time. But it was just bad for just reasons you know it's not going to get better. How do you end it without it being a situation of, oh, that's all you came here for? I've been in situations where we've had sex on a first date. And again, it was appalling. And that person did not understand that was not my mission to have a one-night affair with you. But because of what transpired, I had to end it at that point. There's no way we could go forward, and there was no way we could have even gone forward as friends, because it was just, nah, it's just, nah. It was just bad. So how do you end it properly, cleanly, without it just being a whole bunch of fuckery? Yep, that's my question for you. Hey, you guys keep up the good work. Shout outs to the whole crew. We definitely got to link up soon. It's your man, Big B. Out.
I'd at least give a second shot.
What if that person has never had sex? What if they don't? What if they're waiting for someone to show? That's crazy. Like, what if there are people that question assumes that everybody who has sex on the first date or who has sex, period, is a master of sex.
The first time they're doing it with someone.
Learn how to really have sex when they get married.
Because well, no, as it goes on.
Or when you... I
think that there's this misconception that, and it's all freaking TV. You need to get TV out of your sex life.
I know.
People think you're just going to meet somebody and you're just going to bust in a room and start ripping your clothes off and have this amazing sex. And I'm like, seriously?
Sex and have orgasms at the same time.
Yeah, like, sex can be... Who does that? Anyway, I mean, I'm sure people do it. Whatever, but I just think that people need to understand that sex can be awkward, that sex can be
I've
great.
Never had awkward sex.
Hmm?
I've never had awkward sex.
Very lucky.
Right.
I'm totally lying.
Okay. I was like, wow, that's great.
I was like, very lucky. I don't know what else to say. I just feel like people really do themselves a disservice when they don't give someone a chance. Or to give themselves a chance to learn the other person and have better sex. And it also makes it very obvious that you're not talking. Like, if something's not working for you, what the hell is the problem with you saying, hey, this isn't working. Can I do something different? Can you do something different? Like, What is it so hard to have a conversation?
It is. Well, I think that I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just go ahead because I'm getting ready.
I mean, I'm gonna be real quick because I think it's. For those at the roundtable, they know I come from a different perspective. One, because I don't believe in sex before marriage, and I'm currently practicing that with my fiance. And one of the things I think is interesting about this idea, but listening to the question, is it felt very judgmental, first of all. I think one of the things that's important about that intimacy is that you're sharing one another. You're sharing one of the most intimate and private parts of one another. And to have an expectation, particularly that you're going to have some explosive heavenly experience on the first time with someone you just met, and who knows what the circumstances are. Like, if there was inebriation involved, you really should have an expectation. But second of all, that somehow they have to have body read or mind read you and would know every way to please you and do you right, I think is a little unfair and is kind of ridiculous. I think one of the things that most people learn in a relationship, I'm not saying I've never had sex before, but I think what you learn in relationships is the things that please your partner, the things that are important to them that they don't like or that they hate, and so that first time with this on this first date, you could literally do all the things that they hate, and then that basically, sir. With your lovely, lovely music, might I add. I love the intro. Basically,
gonna get hate mail.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not being facetious. I really do. I was feeling it. Basically, you're saying this, assuming she's a woman, was not. It was so terrible that I was like, I can't move forward. And the question I have for you is, well, why wouldn't she have the right to ask if you were just here for sex? Because if it was that bad, then that means you're not even making any attempt to think about the conversation or what happened on the date as a reason to move forward in that relationship. That means basically sex is the deal breaker. If your sex is bad, I don't care if you are one of the smartest, kindest, generous, loving people I've ever met. If your sex is bad, and you're out of the picture. I think that's hard to embrace that.
Yeah, it's with his question. Shout out to Big B. It's almost like one of them first impression things. And for people who sex is a high priority, like it's one of them, it is a deal breaker. When people list like top three things that they need in a partner, sex is one of them. I can understand it. And look, I don't think people who expect like folk to hit a grand slam when it comes to sex your first time, especially the episode we're talking about nowadays, you got to have sex on the first date. But if it's like ass, like it's terrible, I mean, how do you tell the other person like, yo, your joint wasn't good at all. Like, I don't even want to get back in again for a second time. It was that bad. I mean,
I think it's a weird question because it's your first date. I mean, I don't, you know, maybe I'm cold hearted. I wouldn't feel that much of an obligation to explain, like,
right.
Yeah. I don't, like, just why can't you just, out. Right.
Yeah, just forget it.
Like, mm-hmm. It'd be one thing if it was like, oh, we've been dating for a while and it's just not getting better.
Right.
Then maybe that's a different question, not to tell this guy how to ask his question. I just, like, to me, it's a weird scenario because I wouldn't feel that obligation to someone that I had just had one experience with, and that was it. But I also, even if that was the circumstance, would always give someone another shot. Personally, like, I mean, I think that's extreme. I cannot speak for men. I don't know what could be so bad that it's like, I mean, most guys I know will at least give another shot.
Hygiene shuts it all down.
Yeah.
If you do not clean thyself,
hygiene is a for real deal breaker. But I would say if you're like a stiff, like if you're dead body sex, like I'm gonna just lay here and I'm not moving at all.
You wouldn't even give one shot. You wouldn't give one other shot. But still, that would, no. But if you still just, wouldn't give one if he was laying there,
or if you like
hygiene, I do understand. Yeah, but then, like I said, if it was the first time you've only been on one date, okay, then
or if,
peace
you know,
out. Like
kind of barking orders. See,
okay, is it just me? Am I being naive? I'm gonna presume that if this is our first date and the conversation or whatever connection we have between us is so passionate that we decide to have sex on this first date, that the shit needs to be at least a B. You know what I mean? Like, the passion at the table needs to translate to the bedroom. If it doesn't, then what the hell were we misunderstanding?
Well, some people are just horny. Like, what if you go on a first date and you just want to have sex? Like, just you just want to do it. You know what I mean?
That's or drunk.
Okay, drunk, but that's not passion, really.
But I'm not saying passion. You end up screwing the person. I mean, sometimes that's what happens. You know? I'm just saying that could be a reason as to why it got to that point versus
what, drunk.
Yeah,
I have a question: is this also is this really in the vein of one night standing, or am I confusing things? Because it's the first date. Does it turn into a one night stand once you say this is bad sex?
Yeah,
he's saying how to avoid it seeming like all I wanted was this one night stand. But I'm like, who cares if the person thought that?
That's actually a good point. Like, if you're that concerned, then you seem like you might be concerned about having a relationship with them.
Right. Yeah, I'd rather the person think that I'm like interested in a one night stand versus them thinking I'm so effing shallow that I'm gonna walk away from a potentially great relationship because I didn't have good sex on the first time. Like,
right.
Okay, let's take it a step further. So you give this person a second chance and the sex still isn't good.
Sorry.
I'm not a super communicative person, unfortunately, in that sense. To me, that would be an awkward conversation to have, and I would rather it be blamed on anything but that, personally. But that's
to
just
you,
my own
basically,
feeling.
It's not you, it's me.
Exactly. I would rather them think that than have to tell someone that that would be the issue myself. But
and I'm rude.
You just tell them straight up.
I mean, I don't know if I would not be like abrasive, but I think I would probably not feel bad communicating.
They want to know why.
Well, yeah, I think because I don't think it does anybody any good to pretend like we're not having the conversation.
No, it's cowardly. I admit it. I'm cowardly.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the honest statement.
Yeah. That's awkward.
It is very awkward. It's not something that I would be like, ooh, I get to have, you know, that's not it at all. But
yeah, because there's no way you can say that to somebody and not bruise their ego. There's just no way.
No.
But I would also be interested in improving before I was just like, whatever. I honestly feel like people can learn each other because whatever someone is doing, right? Someone, in theory, you're thinking, oh, okay, this is something that someone else liked before. Well, you're a different person. So if you have a conversation about that doesn't work for me, this works for me, or, you know, that makes more sense to me than you just stick with this one thing and you think that's all there. Like, that to me just, like, you're putting your own self in a box and you're really, I don't know.
I agree with you. I think I'm at a point in life, mind you, I've been married for a long time at this point. I don't know if I would even have the patience to go through the process of, like, teaching somebody. Like, in my 20s, yeah. At this point, I'm like, you need to have some basic skill of the situation, of the territory. Like, you need to have some basic skills when it comes down to that.
What if they don't have basic skills?
Then or if they're inexperienced.
Well, I don't have time.
But what if they're inexperienced?
Then I don't have time.
Got it. That's fair.
I don't have time. I just
that's fair.
See, this is why I have to make a case for why. No, I'm not even gonna make the case.
Marry them first.
I just feel like then there's a case for, like, I mean, I'm gonna look, Lisa's probably not gonna like this part of the conversation, but it's okay. Like, this is for me, like, why the case for us, like, and I can't say that I personally have saved myself, like, I am a virgin, I'm not a virgin, but I get and understand the case for, like, before you open up there's this this verse in Song of Solomon that talks about not awakening these certain desires or certain parts of the human body before it's time. Because what happens is we go through life and we have all these experiences with people. And then let's say you find somebody who you finally want to get down with. That person is always going to be constantly compared against, let's say you had 10 partners before this person. So there's 10 comparisons to this one. And technically, if you've never been there, done that, how do you know what's good or bad? And particularly, that's a person where you can develop whatever, even if in that moment, naturally, like, that doesn't feel good, even though I've never had it before. At least you're in a space where you can develop that relationship together. And I think we do live in a society where when you got the Tinders of the world and and you just are hopping around from sex partner to sex partner every weekend or whenever you get horny.
Dang.
Eventually, well, I mean, that's what's happening. That's why there was this huge billboard against them, like, that they're basically spreading diseases, because that's what people do. They get on these apps and they're like, who could I have sex with today after I get off work?
Yeah, that's why, what's it called? I was always like, do not go on Tinder.
It's like, this, like, it's,
yeah,
real.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, like, there's people that don't do that.
No, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, one night, when you go on a date and you have sex on the first date, that's pretty much like what, the equivalent of what Tinder is, right? Because it's a dating app, but people are just like, I'm there to get some sex. Point I'm making is that eventually all of those experiences amass a perception or a perceived idea of, like, what should be good and what should not be good. Similar to your comment about, like, stop looking into TV for how sex should be or how perfect it should be or how hard it not should be. And so I just feel like if people did consider, and the only reason why people are like, well, I want to try it out before I get married to it, is because you've tried it out before. So now you want to see, is this one going to be good? If you have never tried it out before, you have no idea what that first experience could be with somebody who both of you are having it for the first time.
Yeah, ignorance is totally bliss, but you could still have that first experience and it not be good.
Absolutely. I'm sure people do it all the time. I'm sure it happens.
The problem is you do awaken that part of you, and then if you've committed and you realize, you know what? This is kind of important to me. Oh, I'm stuck. Because now I'm marrying somebody who can't do nothing. Oh, now what? Because now if it becomes a problem and, you know, like, I got to stick with it now? Because now I didn't know. And if I change my mind because of this, then it comes off like I'm just.
Well, that does depend on why you marry that person. Because that's, again, why people need to communicate.
Yeah.
Because before you get married to somebody, if having a certain thing. If there's certain things about you, this is obviously presuming that you, both of you, have had sex before. If there's certain things about that relationship that are important, you need to communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to talk about that things that are deal breakers. If you're somebody who's like, I have to have sex every single day, like, we have to have sex Monday through Sunday, once a day, and the other person's like, I can only do it twice a week, so either there's going to be a compromise or they're going to kick rocks and say peace.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to communicate that. You can't just be like, I don't, like, just find that out, like, after the honeymoon. Like, you, it's good during the honeymoon. You guys doing it every day. And then one side says, actually, you know what? This is too much. That should have been discussed before you got into it. Because that person probably would have said, then you're not the one for me. But we don't communicate. And even to your point about being coward or something, I mean, hypothetically, I probably also, because I'm so sensitive to people's feelings, and, like, it would be very difficult for me to just shut somebody down like that. But I think it's important to communicate everything. And yeah. I don't think people do that.
I just think there's so many.
You can go. I'm sorry.
I think there's so many variables that are at play. If you start talking about sex within a relationship paradigm. Mm-hmm. One night stand, you can do that, move on, and nobody care one way or another. When you start talking about a relationship, I think, and maybe this is me, I think it's critical to anybody's relationship. Until you get to the point where if you're dealing with a partner that is for some reason ill and therefore unable to have sex, and you happen to be that person's caregiver, if you have two able-bodied individuals, it's part of the communication. It's physical communication. So it needs to be, there needs to be some synergy between the two people at play. And if you don't have that, it can really make things challenging, I would imagine, in your relationship. Like, for all of the good, like, you guys could be best friends with your clothes on and then get into the bedroom and things be challenging. No matter how sweet things are on the outside, that bedroom time is going to impact your relationship. So I think it's an important part of the communication piece. I think sometimes we undervalue it because we don't want to seem shallow by making sex seem like it holds so much weight, but it does.
It does hold weight, and I'm not trying to undervalue it at all. I know for me, one of the things in my past, two relationships before I found the woman that I'm going to marry, I love you.
Someone's coming.
Right. What you about to say? Right.
I'm just acknowledging her right now in her presence.
Right.
But I forgot my thought. Oh my God. Jumped on me. Oh, it's so good. Somebody, you guys, come back to me. Oh man.
I'll talk and then you can cut me off in this one. But I just had a really interesting conversation at the beginning of the year. Randomly at Touch of Romance. A group of us were in there.
I love Touch of Romance.
What's that?
And
oh, that's that store on Coleman.
So and everyone in there, even people we didn't know, talked about the work they had to put into their sex life and that it's not this perfect thing and how a lot of them actually had to use toys, not toys, but props and things because certain positions didn't, like, I can't come this way. He can't come that way. He can't stay hard. He can't. There's just things that, like, are real. And I'm like, one shot, you're out of the door. Like, dude, seriously, like, it's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, being able to have that conversation and being willing to put forth the effort, married or unmarried. And I have friends who've waited until they were married. And granted, they appreciate the fact that they were both committed so that when they hit these stumbling blocks, mm-hmm. they were able to communicate about mm-hmm. it, communicate. But even they said it's uncomfortable. It's not going to be comfortable to say, this hurts. I didn't come. Like, when is that ever going to be comfortable? But you have to have the conversation.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but you're an adult. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're engaging in adult behavior. And if you can't have a conversation about this adult behavior, what the hell are you doing? You know?
True that.
I don't know. And like I said, I might be a little rude. I've definitely been accused of it. But I just really feel like you should be able to talk about this kind of stuff.
We're a little repressed in America, you know? Like, yeah. We have a lot of issues with sex here, so.
That's true.
It's funny, but it's two-sided because you seem like we put sex on everything.
That's why we're so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So
but then it's like, when we want to talk about, oh,
we're teenage boys.
Yeah. let's put it on the screen visually and it's fine. Let's talk about it. I'm shy.
Let one ta-ta slip out on the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
America's going to hell.
Exactly. Exactly.
That breast that feedeth the child.
But I think Shelby's point, though, really is like the reason why this is, at least to me, why it's more of an issue in his question is the lack of anything else in their relationship. It's the first date or whatever versus like if you waited a little bit to have sex, which I am for, mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. for like waiting. I mean, good for you guys, definitely, but.
She just patted me like I was a dog.
But I definitely. No, I mean, hey, that's admirable, but I'm all for a waiting period for that reason, because at least if you have a little more there, it might be more motivating to work through that issue versus we've been on one date.
Oh, now I remember what it was. So in those past relationships, one of the things that because I was the one adamant. After a while, at first they thought it was real cute. They're like, oh, he wants to wait. And then when I was very serious, they were like, they were kind of mad. And at one point, one of them said, you know, I do appreciate the fact that we've been able to work through a lot of our challenges without having makeup sex, because sometimes that clouds people's just sanity. It clouds your judgment. It clouds everything, because it's like, oh, all right, I'll deal with you for another 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
And then when some people start using that because they realize I can put that makeup sex on you, and then that's why people be having the breakup sex, because they're like, I got to get away from you, but I got to get it one more time. So what happens is it becomes this like vicious cycle. But we talk about this all the time. I don't think there's any. We kid around with each other about what that moment's going to be like. But I personally don't have any expectations, about our sex life. And it's interesting because our pastors have been very clear about, like, please don't come up in there thinking because you've waited this long period of time that you're going to be ready and it's going to be bam. That first night might be terrible. Right? And second, third might be okay. And so I get that. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, one of the things that I just think about this idea of having sex on the first date, and I think about how many dates that people have, that's a lot of intimacy and connecting on a way that is like really one of the very few, if not the only way, we can literally connect with a human being on a way that nobody else is really a part of that moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're getting real freaky. Right.
You inviting other people unless you, to be a part
unless
of
you,
them.
If you, unless you got a house full of them. But it's just interesting about this idea of, I don't know. I think I just am kind of agreeing with Leisha in this idea that it's just, or I think it's Shelby, really, that to just shut it down immediately, how could you not wonder what somebody's questions about your motives would be?
Yeah, I feel bad for someone with this generation now, more so that it feels like it's almost become like it's a must.
It's the kiss.
Well, yeah, shoot, they DM their private parts all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like you're basically setting somebody up, you know, because women do it all the time, men doing it, you talking all that crap, like, wait till we get in the bed, girl. And then, you know,
it's like that J. Cole song.
Yeah, then you like, what? Yeah, some women be like, oh, I thought you said you talked a good game, and they get turned off because it was so bad. It was like, well, if you hadn't said nothing, I'd have been fine. Maybe I would have been like, you know what? Okay, just let's try it again. But the fact that you hyped it up to be so bomb, like, I fell even further. And I was like, you know what? Nah, because you a liar.
I think
now your sex bad and you a liar. You're a liar.
I feel like that's part of courting from our generation was talking and flirting and the buildup of anticipation of sleeping together. And this current generation is kind of
playing in the background.
Right. Somebody playing in the background. And this generation has seemed to kind of eradicate that entirely. They just get right to it. It just makes me wonder.
Quick satisfaction generation.
Right. It makes me wonder what percentage of them will actually exist in long-term relationships. Oh, or will it be a generation of just like serial monogamy?
Mm-hmm. Wow. If that. I don't even know if the monogamy, I mean, this is a generation where that introduced to us DMing their private parts, like, as if it's just a text. Like, I'm sorry, do I sound really old? I don't care.
No, but what DMing is sounded old on Twitter?
Direct DMing is Twitter.
Instagram. Oh, Instagram. I don't
it's have basically you send it. Well, I'm just saying, I'm like, I can't imagine us in high school thinking to do that. I mean, I guess.
Fuck no.
I can kind of see guys doing it
but
now.
It's just a trick.
But we didn't have
like,
that, so.
Yeah, because there's
I'm
no.
I'm sure there's idiots who would have
like,
done it.
Like, you've taken away all, like, mystery about what it'd be to get with that person.
Oh,
but this is that's what you're trying to get to.
But this is also the same generation that wants to remove mystery when it comes to sexuality, right? So the whole idea of being mysterious, and I'm thinking specifically about women, being mysterious in regards to your dating nobody does that. Everybody puts all their shit out there. You know, they show everything. They talk about everything. They talk about doing everything. And so,
doesn't that make the marketplace even that much more difficult? Because now it's like, if this person has put out their private part and everybody's reacting to that, then everybody, then you feel like that's the, well, I'm sorry, do you?
No, I'm just laughing at private
parts. Funny. Penis, vagina, titty, ta-ta.
If they put out, I'm just trying to keep this mature and grown and sexy.
I know, and I'm being immature.
If they do that, then that basically becomes a standard that everybody's trying to meet.
Right.
So then it really screws up the whole ecosystem of like even just dating, because you're like, I mean, what if there are like people out there who they literally genuinely are like, I'm private and you're not seeing any parts of this unless I have a serious relationship with you. I guess you don't necessarily want to kick it with the people then who are DMing themselves all over the place.
Some people get more love. I think there are people who are like, you'll get actual props for that.
Yeah, there are tons of
people who are like, oh, you don't do that. Oh. Yeah. I'm
like,
curious.
Like, you might be a solid one. Because the rest is just games and shit.
And guys still like that. I mean, everything's out there, and guys are cool. We'll take it. You know, of course we will. But you can't tell me through all these years the desire to chase is all of a sudden gone from men. I don't believe that. And if a girl's like, oh, I'm going to hold it, because I'm like, oh, she's not giving it up? You know what? I'm going to really try it. And try to get in it.
Yeah.
And make her give it up. It's just...
And I don't think everybody that's in this generation is just loose and wild. There seems to be a camera on all the people who are. Like, it's a reason to become popular.
Yeah, the internet is just
life-changing.
It really is.
I think it's hard for us to identify. Also, I mean, even if you just think about the access to porn, like... True. We were young, like, you know, I mean...
Cinemax, that's all you had.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cinemax. Or like... or like the, you know, the...
Red shoes.
Or like the blurred Playboy channel that you would maybe see come in, like, when the blurs would work.
Or your uncle and his Playboy stuff.
Yeah,
maybe,
or whatever.
That was just me.
Versus now, they literally can just go on the internet and, like, Google sex, and you could see anything you could ever dream of ever seeing. Yeah. And
for
so,
free.
Yeah.
Just
so
for free.
I mean, I can't even imagine if that had been accessible when I was younger. Like, it would have...
You're talking about messed up mind.
Right.
And when I say addiction...
I was just about to say, porn addiction is
fantasy,
not a
too.
Joke.
It's not even
and
realistic.
The fantasy is very sick and twisted.
Yeah.
The fantasy is very sick and twisted. And I didn't know.
And they don't even know.
When you say fantasy.
The fantasy of the porn. So when I was watching, obviously on Netflix. I mean, if it's not NPR, it's Netflix. So I was watching this... documentary that Rashida Jones did. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh,
I think it's called like Hot Girls
Wanted. Yeah.
Did I tell you about it?
No, I mean, we talk about it at work, so.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Because you work. one of the things that they bring up is, or was it in a podcast I listened to? Whatever it is that, people who watch porn consistently, right, eventually they stop humanizing the sexual partner. And that there's really no way around that. I don't remember which one I got it from. I don't know if I got it from a podcast or if I got it from... But that eventually that breaks down. And because our young people are so exposed to porn so young... that at a very early age, they stop connecting and stop humanizing their sexual partners, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because how are they supposed to go on and have, like, a real relationship, you know? There's that. Then this other thing that happened that is scary is that the number one search term in porn is teen. T-E-E-N. Like,
really?
Teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary.
Wow.
And one of the things they showed in the documentary, and not that this represents all porn, but they shot a specific, like, scene where it was like the almost yes. So it was like borderline rape. You know, it was an older man approaching a young girl whose dad wasn't there, a friend of the dad. He comes over and it's like they're telling her, okay, don't say no, but kind of like resist. And I was like, this is molestation, like rape. Like, this is scary.
But it lets you know what people are really... Right, because, okay, I'll watch porn, not on a consistent, regular basis, but from time to time, I'll dabble in looking.
I think I'm the only person that doesn't watch porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not mad at porn for what it is as as a grown person who can consume it in healthy doses. But when you look at, like, the tags that exist or the categories that exist, because sometimes I look just out of curiosity to see, like, what kind of shit is actually getting recorded. There is an inordinate amount of, like, young, teen, dad, granddad, uncle, teacher. I saw one, because some of them I watch, like, if I have one of those moments where I'm just searching for some, like, whatever you do, don't look for, like, bestiality stuff. It will blow your mind. You'd be like, really? People are disgusting.
And it comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not. I used to know when I blocked it out.
Oh,
yeah,
I've heard about it on the radio.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at this, but this, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I've heard it on Canada. They did one of the little news things. That somebody got brought it up. A woman got arrested for doing, like, basically jacking on some dogs and shit. What? And, like, actually doing all that. You're like, what the hell?
Women having sex with horses.
I need earbuffs.
And, like, oh, it's nasty. You but, like, I know that's the thing. Why, child? Why? Like, what in the world?
Human mind is just.
You can find anything.
Yes. Yeah, you really can.
Yeah. Anything you've ever imagined somebody has done.
And that's not even the dark internet.
Oh, no.
Because the dark net is like
The subway guy stuff.
That's like, you don't, that's a pit that you definitely don't want to go in.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because they do have that rape porn and, like, the violent ass porn.
Another thing is, most of the, okay, so, because I tried to do a little bit of research, like, overwhelmed, and I said, I can't do this.
Please stop. Please stop. You had to go look at pictures of daisies.
I did. I've watched looked at pictures of puppies. But
Starts early.
They said, so I can't remember the percentages right now, but there was a large percentage of porn that involved some type of violence. Yeah. And they said that the violence is usually obviously perpetrated by a man and like the woman is on the receiving end. Obviously there's some man on man, so it's not like 100%. But that also concerns me, that sex is like, and this was of popular online porn searches.
Yeah.
Like the most popular things were violent men against women. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's terrifying because this is what our kids are like. Before they have natural, organic sex, they're going out to see what sex is. And so they're watching porn to figure it out, you know? And what they're seeing is violence.
Well, if they're Googling teen, you never see, like, teens having sex together. It's always a teen and, like, a 95-year-old man. And this is like, this is just nasty. Like, it always looks like a child and an old man. And then if you ever... I got to call you mama. That's how tired I am. Chris, what do you call that porn? It's like the Japanese anime.
Hentai.
If you ever look at hentai porn, which is basically Japanese anime porn.
Mm-hmm.
You
so talk cartoons?
About, yeah, they're cartoons. Okay. You talk about violence. First of all.
Cartoon porn?
Yeah.
That's violent?
Yeah. They do have cartoon porn. Man.
You got, look at it just for shits and giggles. It's a trip. Because it's anime. All the girls are always super young, like school girl in like the Catholic school outfit with glasses.
Well, any type of situation, they're always young.
Yeah, but they also always have like triple G boobs and, you know, but they're all innocent and like, and then they're always having sex with like this huge purple monster that has like 12 dicks.
Oh my God.
It's always crazy shit like that.
It's always a guy. And it always seems like it comes off like, even if the writing and the subtitles is supposedly like the girl in it. It always looks like the girl is not.
Right.
It's always like, I don't know. And the guy is just like, you taking his dick.
Right. I'm just give it to you. It's always rape.
Yeah, and it comes to you like, what the hell? Like, almost all the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, what in the fuck? What is going on over there?
It's very strange. It's very strange.
I think it's also like, it's more troubling because we just don't have the counter. Like, we aren't willing to, like, have real, like, I mean, some places do. I feel like I was lucky to grow up where I did. We had good sex education, but, like, there's a lot of places that do nothing. And and I think if we could counter and, like, say, yes, this is out there, but, like, here's also, like, the reality and like, be realistic with kids and teach them and talk to them, I really wouldn't mind that that they have access to all of this. It's just because we don't...
There's no balance.
Yeah, there's no balance. And so if that's all they know, like, I actually was just watching...
You said you don't mind kids having access to that?
If they had a counter. I mean, they're going to have access regardless. It's not up to me. Well, so I can't control it.
This is where I got to disagree. Because I feel like part of your job as a parent... And I'm not a parent, so I can't... I'm not... It's not a judge, but I feel like... That's the work that has to go into making sure that you, like, children don't stay children long enough anymore now. Mm-hmm. And I think that adults are like, either you get, if there's giving up or it's like, you know, there's nothing I can do. Like, if all of these companies, electronic devices provide, internet, whatever it is, provide all these parental controls, and yes, I know that you're not going to watch them every single moment of the day. But I just, to introduce some of the complexities of what we just talked about to a child, regardless of the fact that you've had a sex education, there we just talked about first date not liking good sex or having good sex or having decent sex, whatever. So I can't even imagine introducing the complexity of bestiality and
I'm realistic and I know if I was a kid growing up now right I would be watching porn. I mean I watched it and I had to find it and I saw it, you know what I mean? So I mean, of course I would find it.
And do you remember when Ebony was trying to get their hashtag back? Because if you search
Ebony, people don't do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, part of it is though too, Malcolm, as a parent, you rather
Ebony the magazine trying to get it.
Right. They tried to get their hashtag back because, and I was like, oh, how bad could it be? And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, but part of it is, as a parent, you don't want your child learning it from somebody else. Like, there's something about exposing your children to those things that you know are unsavory when they're ready. I'm not saying drop your 6-year-old in front of Pornhub and like, baby, we got to talk about this.
No, but
there's certain things you want to introduce your children to because you don't want them being introduced to it by somebody who doesn't have their best interest.
Or you don't want them introduced. I mean, I remember the way that I was introduced to pornography was my nosy Snoopy butt. I went into my dad's closet and I saw a huge stack of Blacktail.
Right.
And some Hustler. It was bad. And I can say that only because I was challenged at a point in my life with having an addiction to porn. But it was bad because here I was, I must have been 12, experiencing something without no idea. You know what I mean? Like, I thought of was like, oh, there's like some titties and they're round and it's a lot of them and I can look at as many as I want and then put it back and he'll never know.
Right.
You know, and then there's also the shame and the like, that's a bad part too, because it's like, well, son, let me tell you about this and let me tell you why actually, you know, you're 12. So these are women that are adults and this thing called statutory rape and you probably shouldn't, you know, this, don't want to make that connection. No, I'm just saying, like, what happens is you get introduced at such an early age. Mm-hmm. So here you are looking at someone who, if they were right here in your home, that would be an illegal encounter. But when you have it in the porn world, it's not illegal, right? Even though it is illegal, that if you look at porn that involves any teenagers and you're looking at it and they've been following you, you could be arrested. That's illegal, right? Like, even if it's something that somebody put up on their page and you start looking at it, if they were monitoring you, you could go to jail for that.
Yeah, well, when they search teen, it's 18 usually.
Yeah, and
it's barely legal.
It's just a challenge about, because it's like, when do you talk to your child? Because, you know, using your scenario, you'd probably be like, oh, shit. Your father would be like, I wish I talked to him before he found my
junior high school.
Right, but then it's like, if I knew you didn't, you know, but you could say, well, I don't know if I should talk to him when he's 12. That still may be too young.
I think it depends on your child. Right, because your child
is
like...
But then, like you said, you see it, then you're kind of like, okay, now that he's seen it, he or she has seen it, what do I tell them? How much of this do I go into... And how do I explain it? Because you like, I want to explain it to him, but I'm not saying, hey, go find out about it. But I want to explain it to him, like, be safe, but, you know, like, you don't want to weirdly impact your child's sexual life.
I feel you, because we, like, today we were, a song came on, and the girls were like, started singing it. And I was like, stop, that's an adult song. And I'm thinking to myself, why do they know this song? Like,
but it's very frustrating.
And I get it, because I was listening to Push It.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I get it.
Forget that. Saying? Yeah, you make my love come down. I mean, think about the songs.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right.
Look, if you seven, look like, what if you're about 9 years old, listen to Jodeci?
Oh, I sure did.
That was my song.
But I'm talking about like 4 and 8 years old.
But I had no idea what I was singing.
I didn't know what I was singing, and yes, I was singing songs about sex when I was like 4 and 8 years old.
The kids don't know what they're singing.
So my question to you is,
and my mom said,
do you stop them from singing it, or do you keep that thing like, oh, that's cute?
My mom was like, she would laugh at me because I would be singing my whole heart and have no idea what I was singing about. I mean, my whole heart.
I felt like I could ask my mom anything and she would answer it, and that's all that I would want the same for my kids to feel that way. And I mean, to me, it's more about like, yeah, you're probably going to see porn, but that's fantasy. It's a movie, just mm-hmm. like the other movies you watch that are fake.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with that, like, because I definitely would want to have a conversation with my child that confronts that, so that they don't have a warped sense of that, and that they actually understand the version of sexuality that I want them to understand that's not warped, that's not fantasized, that is not glorified in imagery that is not realistic, right?
Exactly.
Like body types, body shapes, ideas.
But mind you, the internet and everybody having camera phones and cameras in general has also changed the porn industry, because now when you access porn online, it's not all made in the San Fernando Valley. Right. You got a lot of amateur me and my boo thing, or
phone.
Me and such and such. I'm about to hit it real quick. Yeah. I'm just going to get this quick. You know, so you got a lot of reality porn.
It's voyeurism.
Jumping off at the same time. Yeah.
Reality porn. It's a lot of voyeurism.
I would say, what's your point? Well, that it came back to how you were saying about when parents, part of the challenge is maybe you have to sacrifice listening to the songs you want, because the material is not good enough for your kid. Like,
they play it on the bus that they ride on.
Yeah, but
which is
really
how I heard. Because when I was in my
school,
exactly the same thing.
You right, like you can't. That's the thing. Like, you have to basically educate them.
Homeschool.
And exactly, because I'm like, believe me, you might watch what your kids do, but that doesn't mean they're friends' parents.
Right. Right. The problem is, if you see like, well, I'm gonna insulate my child so they don't see nothing, then your kid doesn't know how to act in society.
But no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, I want to go back to the comment I made. Keep your children as long as you can, because at the end of the day, when you become a teenager, when you become 18, yes, I want the relationship to be honest and open or whatnot, but I also don't want you to be able to be dealing with the things of the world. That's like, you shouldn't be worried about certain things at a certain age,
you know.
And I just don't want these kids like to grow up so quickly that they have concerns about things that they don't even fully quite understand.
But the moment your kids get in school, it's a wrap. Like, we're seeing that now with Eli being in the second grade. There's so many things we would like to protect him and have tried to protect Eli from. And he is, for what it's worth, a very sheltered kid. He's naive about a lot of stuff, but he's smart. He's a smart kid, and he's surrounded by kids from a variety of different backgrounds, and so he's picking up stuff that he and, you know, me and his dad wouldn't be putting around him. But he's dealing with parents, or dealing with kids who got parents in all kind of situations. You know, I think he might be one of a few kids that is coming from a two-parent household, but everybody isn't. And I know there's times when I think he might come off a little square to the other kids, because he's just, he's not a street smart kid. You know, he don't see parent status. Yeah, like he doesn't see a whole lot of fighting drama and craziness between us. But his some of his little homies is, you know,
that's their daily life.
That's right. Their little drama. You know what I mean? So he ends up getting hip to it because they're going through it.
And it
comes back to what your parent, parents teach you. Because I definitely grew up a sheltered kid. Sheltered, like, 100%. And when I was confronted with things, like, in the world, I would just ask my mom. And to my mom's credit, because she crazy, she was honest. So my mom, if I asked my mom a question, she would answer it. And because I didn't have... I was curious, but because she was always so direct in her answer, I was like, all right. There was no fun. Like, I didn't have a reason to question.
Like, what would she say? Like, if there was a question about what, how would she respond?
Oh, my favorite. Let me tell you my favorite question, because at the time it puzzled me. And later on, I said, my mother's a fool. I asked my mom what was an orgasm. We were watching the Arsenio Hall show. And he said something about an orgasm. I said, Mom, what's an orgasm? And she said, sheer ecstasy. And I was like, what?
Brilliant, mother of Shelby.
And I said, what?
Brilliant.
But it threw me off.
And that's great, because that's truly what it was.
It's the real answer. It completely threw me off, and I just left her alone. Right? So, you know, I think...
I asked my mom what 69 was.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Did she know?
Yeah, she... Of course she knows. But yes, she told me, too. Believe it or not.
How old were you?
I don't remember. We were watching 30-something, I'll never forget, and they made a joke about 69, and I was like, I don't get the joke. And she was like, it's a sex position. And I was like, what? And then she explained it to me. I don't remember how old I was, though. I was young, though. I mean, I wasn't, like, in kindergarten, but...
Yeah. That's really what you gotta do.
Yeah, if you just really tell fine. Them,
and you're just
really
honest
fine.
About it, that when they really need to ask you some serious stuff, they can be like, well, my parents have always been straight up, even when sometimes maybe I didn't want to really know the answer they told me, so they'll feel comfortable telling you. Versus if you always like, I'm not telling you and all that, then when it gets serious, they're like, I'm not going to tell them that. You know, like, when I just have simple questions they don't want to answer, and so if I'm coming with some serious shit, you know what, let me not talk to them. Let me talk to somebody else.
My and friend you, at school.
Right, and then you miss out.
That's
so
scary.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for none of that.
Exactly.
But now my son's 7. I mean, he's already getting into cussing. Like, I would play stuff for him when he was about 4 or 5. You know, I wouldn't play like...
He like cussing? You like cussing?
He says... He'll say like, you know, he's heard like the B word or the F word like that. But I understand, because in second grade... At second grade is when I remember the bad words kicked in for me, when I was like, oh, okay, yes, I know these words. So he, you know, when he was 4 or 5, I'd play certain hip hop that would drop the S bomb or all that, and say nigga. Now he knows the N, he'll refer to the N word, and I'm like, I want to play this. Are we here now? Like, I don't really want to have to explain the nigga what. I'm like, all right. So now I'm like, I can't. Now I'm like, okay, he's 7. I can't play any of this. And if I know if I play it and it said the cuss word, he's gonna know the cuss word and be like, oh, did they just say the B word? Like,
yeah. Yes. We were very fortunate with him, because Eli is not a kid. He wasn't the repeat kid who would just, you know, hear a bad word and say it. But the good thing is, when he did get to a point where he was curious about it, he would come to us and say it. Like, what was the first thing? I know, I remember D's nuts.
That was
real clear.
That was hilarious.
I remember D's nuts real clear, and we were just like,
wait, well, how did he say it?
I forgot what it was, like some joke.
Yeah, he was like a joke. And he was like, what the hell? I said, D's nuts.
Yeah, the punchline was D's nuts. And he was like, totally, like, little innocent, big eyed.
He's just like, it sounded funny.
Like, it's funny. Like, D's nuts.
He has no clue.
And then Kim and I look at each other like, uh-oh. Did this nigga just say D's nuts?
We both were just like the...
hilarious.
Like, it was almost like the moment when you first heard the Andre album. You were like, what?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Wait, I missed what, Shelby, what did you say your mom, how she explained orgasm to you?
Sheer ecstasy.
Sheer ecstasy? I love it.
I didn't really get it until I got older, but at the time, she just completely threw me off, and I left her alone.
Yeah, that's the point. Mm-hmm. That's the point, though. It's like, oh, well, I don't get it. And she's like, yeah, you get it. Don't worry about it.
Right. Like, you'll understand.
You'll figure it out.
You'll understand. Okay, so I guess we're telling Big B don't run off after the first day.
Don't mess with
the
hentai
real advice
or
BCI or
teenagers on the internet. Don't look them up. Don't go to jail.
Everybody gonna be looking.
Yeah, basically, don't tell them the reason why you decided not just take the one night. I'm an ass. Yeah, like I just want a one night stand with you, and then just take that. But if they really want to know, then tell them.
Be honest.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
I just want to.
If someone asks, I can do that. Maybe
they would like for real have to ask.
Right.
No kissing and hugging. I just want to rub on you.
All right. Well, that was good, guys.
Everybody, grab a body. Get up and like you want somebody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. You can message on the hotline 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again. Just let him kick it.
Do is wrong. Get up.
23 positions in a one-night stand.